Well, tomorrow we're going to celebrate the 21st birthday of my oldest grandchild, Ari. Can't believe she's 21. She's turned into just being a wonderful, wonderful young woman. And she's in her third year of college. And her roommate listens to Coast, listens to our program religiously, just religiously. When she found out I was Ari's grandfather, she couldn't believe it. Life is a small world, isn't it? Anyway, we're going to come back in a moment. More of your open line calls. Every line is lit, but keep trying. You'll get in when we come back. Well, welcome back to Coast, George Norrie with you, and I hope you have a delightful weekend. Speaking of weekends, Richard Serrett will be with us on Saturday and Sunday. Again, I'm going to be with Richard in Toronto on August 22nd. He always comes by to our live stage show events. And if you want more information on that, just go to our events at coasttocoastam.com. Right there at the top, you click that, and that'll take you right to that. Always a great time in Toronto. Very gracious folks. And as everybody knows now that even though it's a packed house, we will do a meet and greet afterwards. And I'm not leaving until the last person, you know, has their chance to do that. So let's go back to the phones. Let us go to Irondale, Alabama. Jay's with us on Coast to Coast. Hey, Jay. Thank you.
Greetings. Thank you. I think this is the fourth or fifth time I've called. There's a secret to getting in, you know.
Don't give it. Don't give it.
Yeah. No, I won't. I won't. I called about the rebuilding of the temple. If you go to the 11th chapter of Revelation, it talks about the two witnesses, and also if you go to the 40th chapter of Ezekiel, it talks about the rebuilding of the temple. This is the rebuilding of the tribulation temple. This is a signal, and I know there's a lot of believers out there that listen.
Oh, yeah.
This is a signal that the return of Yeshua HaMashiach, is how you say it in Hebrew, is close. It's right around the corner. And since it seems that Christians have become the enemy, it says if you're going to follow the Lord, that you will be persecuted. He did say, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. And I would love for you to come to Birmingham, and we would love to have you in Birmingham at News Radio 105.5 WERC. George, you must come to Birmingham, please.
I know you will work on that. I'd love to get down there. I've not been there.
Well, you would. We're really strange here in Birmingham. Birmingham's one of the most unusual towns. I've told you this before. We're railroad capital of the country. You can see we actually have a Roman god on the hill called Vulcan. But, you had a person on earlier from Lakeland, Florida. I went to high school there, and hello, class of 78, Lakeland High School.
I like that. That's a great spot. And by the way, didn't my Detroit Tigers play there in the summer? In spring training. Yeah,
they train there. Yeah, the high schools play there, and I think there's another team. It's been so long since I've been there. I moved away over 20 years ago. Lakeland High School plays where they train. And you've got to get Jeremy Scahill on your show. He wrote Dirty Wars. It's very interesting.
Okay, we'll work on that.
Hey, take care. God bless, my friend.
You know, when we do our Coast Insider Chat, which is on the second Tuesday of every month, matter of fact, it'll be coming up next week, I get so many great guest ideas from Coast Insiders, and then I just pass them on to Tom and Lisa, and off to work they go to see if these guests will, you know, be able to work on radio. And because, you know, there's one thing writing a good book, but you got to be able to talk on radio. You got to be able to carry on a conversation. So that's one of the things that they do, and it's an art for a producer to be able to do that. Let us go next to Chatsworth, California. Hello, Sylvia. Good morning.
Hey, how are you, George?
I am fine, and how are you? You're all chipper and awake and everything else.
I know. It's too much green tea today.
Caffeine.
Way too much. I actually was calling a few things. You've got to get J.P. Johnson and Irving Baxter back on the show. That's one thing. And another thing is I'm noticing is it me or is time moving so fast?
Oh my God!
That the weather can't catch up.
No,
it's it's kind of chilly up here in Chatsworth.
Nothing can keep up. Yeah, we've had a cold July in the very brief time I've been in St. Louis. You know, normally it's 85, 90 degrees. It's been in the 60s at night. It's weird, and it hasn't stopped raining since I've been here.
Yes. Yes, I'm the same here. I don't know what that's all about, but hey. I believe that would be about it. I really, really love Irving Baxter and J.P. Johnson.
Okay, we'll work on that for you. Appreciate it. Next up, we go to Dr. Sleepless in Portland, Oregon. Hello, Doctor.
Hello, George. How are you doing tonight?
I'm fine, Dr. Sleepless.
I wanted to talk to you just a bit about some insights I gained thanks to Bruce Lipstein's interview and several other broadcasts you've done about the nature of reality, consciousness, and what have you. It's all about, again, as Bruce said, the difference between using your sympathetic nervous system and your parasympathetic nervous system. And this relates directly to the addictive tendencies of our society. Do you know how?
How? Tell me.
Because when people self-medicate using alcohol or depressants, opiates, or any number of things like that, they are trying to ratchet down from being in their sympathetic nervous system, and our society has geared everyone to being so active and controlling of their environment that they literally forget or are unable to switch to their parasympathetic nervous system without using alcohol or drugs.
I like that. Well said.
Thank you. And this is coming from someone who has a history of addiction. I spent 25 years off and on opiates, and I became a professional at withdrawing from drugs. And I've been clean for a while now, and I want to say that Coast to Coast has been so instrumental in guiding me towards so many revelations and helping me keep my perspective. But I think it's really important for people to understand that there's nothing wrong with what they're doing. I mean, they need to learn how to find other means to ratchet down to the parasympathetic system. Meditation, deep breathing, like Bruce was talking about, listening to music, it's all so key. And if you don't do that, like he said, all of the diseases of the human body directly relate to overuse of the sympathetic nervous system.
You're right on. And you know, as strange as it sounds, in terms of the meditation, the music and stuff, it really does help de-stress you. It really does. I mean, there's nothing like it when you just calm down, relax, listen to a little mood music. I love Stephen Halpern's work, by the way. He just puts you in that special mode. It works. It really does. Let's go now to Paradise, California. Bill's turn on Coast to Coast. Hey, Bill, welcome to the program.
How you doing, George?
Good, Bill. Thank you.
I think I have the solution to the number of the beast, the 666.
What do you think?
Well, it takes a little bit of a diagram. Very simple one, if you got a piece of paper and a pencil there.
I always do.
You do? Draw a circle for me.
All right. Done.
Okay, and at the center of the circle, make a line up to the center, to the top.
Okay.
And then finish it off in thirds.
All right.
Now put a cross in each one.
What do you mean, a cross in each third?
A cross in each section.
Okay.
All right. Now the 666 I take is a percentage that returns a ratio. So put a 333 next to each cross.
Okay.
Okay.
Got it.
Now, one of the upper crosses, take a line, run it out of the circle, and point it upwards.
Outside of the circle?
Sure.
Okay. Like it's going right out of it. All right.
All right. And pointing upwards, put a little arrow on it.
Okay.
And on the other side, take a line from the cross to outside the circle and aim it downwards.
The one going down. Okay. Same thing.
And put an arrow on that.
Okay.
The upwards is Christ's cross, and lower, and the other one, pointing downward, is the unrepentant sinner's cross.
What about the one on the other third?
That will be the repentant sinner's cross.
All right, now explain that for me, though. What am I looking at?
Okay. I got a bit of a note here.
You have a note?
I just write down little things here. When Christ was on the cross, and the group that he was in was three, two-thirds of those went to heaven. And the 666 is a percentage. 666 of 1,000 is two-thirds. That's why I put a 333 in each part. It doesn't matter how big the hole is. Two-thirds of 1,000 or two-thirds of 10 trillion, it's the same number. It's the same ratio.
All right. I'm going to follow up on that. Indeed. Look, end times, very close. I think I'm a believer in that, too. And it's going to be a rocky road to get there. Kirkville, Ontario. Let's go to Canada. Terry's turn on the international line. Hi, Terry.
Hi, George. Got my tickets. Looking forward to August 22nd.
Oh, that's going to be great. And you make sure that you definitely introduce yourself to me when I'm out there.
Absolutely. I wanted to talk to you about the show, and I know that locally they're running, you've done promos, and Alex has done promos for the show coming up.
Okay, good. And they're using them.
There's a value-added feature to the ticket. Because of where the venue is, it is going to be in the middle of the Canadian National Exhibition. Now, for people who don't know what that is, it's like a state fair. It's a big event. And that's an $18 value because your ticket is going to get you into the CNE as well.
That's where the Queen Elizabeth Theater is, right?
Exactly. So if anybody's sitting on the fence about whether or not to buy tickets to come, there's a little more impetus for you to come. There's a huge value-added feature to getting a ticket. And I'm hoping, too, that Richard talks about it tomorrow, but it's really just more or less kind of a regional interest sort of a thing. But if you're in Western New York or Michigan or Northeast Ohio and you're thinking about it, your dollar's worth more up here. And you're going to get into a huge event free with your ticket. And I just wanted to get that out there.
That's great. I didn't even know that. That's super.
There you go.
Okay. All right. Thanks, Terry. Appreciate it. We go next to Buck in Limestone, West Virginia. Hey, Buck. Welcome to the show.
Hey, good morning, George. Thanks for taking my call.
You're very welcome.
Hey, well wishes to Tommy, too.
Yeah, he's hurting. He doesn't know what he did, but... Man, that really tore his muscle or something.
Well, if everybody gets together and wishes him well, it ought to come around quicker.
I think so.
I have a quick comment and a question, and this is regarding evil that you brought up earlier.
Okay.
And I got to thinking about it, and I'm 58 years old, and I, without a doubt, in my lifetime, I've not seen any evil like ISIS. I think it's the real deal.
Yeah, I think so too. Now, they could have been created by a group to cause this, but I mean, the evil and the hatred is indeed there. There's no doubt about that.
And my question was, and I would have loved to ask the Gypsy Witch, at one of their get-togethers, if all of the witches could put like a power curse on them, on ISIS. If that's a possibility.
Or you know what? We could do the same thing with massive prayer.
There you go. What, you got 3 million listeners?
Easy. At least that.
Easy. And everybody ought to put the curse on them.
See what happens. Let's hope it doesn't come back, though, and haunt us. Let's go to Cornelius in Alexandria, Louisiana. Hello there, Cornelius.
Hey, Big George. I'm sorry our friend Tommy isn't doing well. We got to put him on the prayer line, too, so he can get better.
Hey, we sure do. It's been way too long now. He's been gone the whole week.
Oh, okay. I was wondering why they had these different
names that I mentioned at the end. Yeah.
But Dave's good, and Nathan, and all the rest.
They're all Gina, all of them. They're all saving me. That's for sure.
You know, George, I want to thank you too. I didn't know Glenn Beck was sick too, and you got him on the prayer line and stuff. And
yep.
It's so nice. I hope one day you'll get on his program because both of y'all are on the same course, and Jim Baker. And I'm glad you get my Patriot Supply and all like that, and that power source you can get because it's getting ready to come down to the end. You know, I'm into Bible prophecy and stuff, and I'm glad some of your callers and stuff and listeners know about Irvin Baxter and
Sure. You can feel it.
Yeah, Perry Stone and a couple of these others. I know Glenn's going to try to have something on 828 at Birmingham, and that guy was talking about Birmingham, Alabama.
Right.
So, they're trying to have something like, you know, a unity type thing, because, like, this guy that did that thing in South Carolina is just trying to – They're trying to divide us,
yeah.
Blacks and whites, and they want us to have a race war. But George, between you and a whole bunch of other people, they won't have it.
They're not going to win. Nope.
Hey,
George,
one thing I'd like to ask from you,
sure.
Louis Armstrong. I love when y'all play him, and I love to listen to all your music. Y'all got the best music in the world.
I'll do Louis next week for you.
Oh, okay. I hope Art Bell. You said he's coming back, too, to a certain extent, right?
Yeah, he's going to do his thing a little bit again. So, again, not here.
All right. God bless you, and you be careful, George, and enjoy yourself with your granddaughter.
Okay. Thanks, Cornelius. Yep. Can't believe it. She's 21 years old. Truly remarkable. Robert in the Big Apple, New York. Hey, Robert.
Good morning, George. How are you?
Morning. I'm good.
Okay.
Thank you.
You had a by the way, thank you so much for having the Florida cryptid specialist.
Sure. I liked him. It was fun.
He was wonderful.
Yeah.
Scared the pants off of you, but he was wonderful. I loved it when you had Gypsy Teague. Is that her name?
Gypsy Elaine Teague.
Okay. You had a caller named Gunther who wanted to know about the convocation of witches in Germany.
Right.
What he may be referring to is the annual feast of Walpurgisnacht. Walpurgisnacht is on April 30th, May Eve. The tradition is this. It stems from an 8th century legend of an abbess who was a seer and a mystic who became a witch. And throughout the century, she had a cult following. And the tradition is that once a year, all the witches who lived in creation can revel and bacchanal on a mountaintop, do anything they wish to do until the sounding of a nearby monastery bell at May Day morn, playing the Ave Maria, when they must leave. The two most best examples of this in literature and music. Goethe's Faust has a scene in which Mephistopheles takes Dr. Faust up to this mountain, and he revels with the witches. But you may be familiar with the most famous example, Modest Mussorgsky's Russian piece, Night on Ball Mountain.
Okay.
That's what Gunther may be referring to. The annual get-together
well
of
said.
Witches on Ball Mountain or Bear Mountain. It's a classical piece of music from the 19th century by one of Russia's great national composers.
Right. It's kind of spooky, too, isn't it?
Yeah, it's a very spooky piece.
Yeah.
Because most of it is very dark, very devious, and only when you hear the chimes playing the Ave Maria when the witches have been banished to wherever they're supposed to go to do you get a sense of peace. But I think that answers Gunther's question.
Very good. Well said. We're going to come back with some final open line calls in just a moment on Coast to Coast AM. Okay, welcome back to our final segment here on Coast to Coast AM. Let's go to our Skype caller. We're going to Ben. He's in South Korea. Welcome to the show. Hi, Ben. How are things for you?
Oh, pretty good.
Good.
So a couple of weeks ago, you had a show you were talking about racism. And I've been trying to call ever since. Just never been able to get through. But
okay.
I'm a human being. And according to the United States government, however, I'm a white man. Like I said, I live in South Korea. And if you ever want to really, truly experience racism, you need to come here or to any Asian country, really.
Is it bad? They treat you bad?
Well, it's not so much that you're treated bad, you're just treated differently. I tried for the first few years to assimilate, but my efforts were looked down on.
Why do you stay there if you're getting that kind of treatment?
Well, the money's good. It's not all bad. Mostly I'm left alone, so
yeah,
that is the nice thing. But
are you working there?
Yeah. Not everybody's like that. It's mostly the very old, because the very old are very nice. It's that middle-aged group and the young kids that are really that way. But
well, you know what? You're going to find that on all walks of life, everywhere. Not just where you are. It happens here. It happens everywhere. You sound like you're in a restaurant or something. Where are you?
Yeah, I'm just having some dinner.
What time is it there now?
It's about 5:30.
Saturday night, right?
Yeah, Saturday evening.
Yeah. Time traveling.
I had a ghost story for you.
All right.
My girlfriend, she lives up in Seoul, and I was trying to kind of get her try to find out where she sits on paranormal stuff. And so last time I saw her, I was asking, I said, do you have any ghost stories? And she said, when she was about 12, she was going home from school at 11 or 12 o'clock at night. And she was walking down this road where there was nobody. And this old woman was walking toward her. She didn't think anything of it. This old woman was, the old people here, sometimes they'll carry little push carts behind them where they keep bags and stuff.
That's right.
Anyway, there was nothing in this bag. There was nothing in this push cart. It was just an empty push cart. Screak, 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 right? And as she got closer and closer to the woman, she realized that this woman had no eyes. There's just black holes where her eyes should be. And as she got around the corner, there was a little snack cart where she would usually stop to get some snacks, and it was on fire. So I don't know that one had something to do with the other, but
ooh, I would hate to see somebody like that. Hey Ben, thanks. I know you've called in before. Wonders of Skype. That's why we were one of the first to put it in. Let's go next to Bob in Covina, California, first time caller. Hi Bob, thanks for holding.
Hi, George. Thanks for taking my call. I've come on the air tonight to testify that pure evil is a reality. I'm often astonished talking to friends and acquaintances, and they wonder if evil is real, whether it even exists. And I can testify that it does.
Yes, no doubt.
I was a Cold War era international radio broadcaster for the United States government's Voice of America shortwave service.
Okay, great.
During that time period, I had a close encounter with pure evil. In January of 88, during Reagan's time, I was walking home from the grocery store in Northern Virginia. You remember the giant supermarkets?
Mm-hmm. I sure do.
You sure would, because you worked at the Pentagon.
No, I didn't. What you mean by that, but not as a insider.
No, but I mean, you worked at the Pentagon. You were stationed at the Pentagon.
So
You know Northern Virginia, and you know giant supermarket. Well, this is out in the Alexandria area where the giant supermarket is.
Okay.
And this is in the winter, and I was walking home about 10 o'clock at night with my bags of groceries because I didn't want to drive the car in the freezing temperatures. And I was ambushed from behind near my apartment. I never even heard the assailants approach me. I was nearly beaten to death.
Oh, God.
Yeah, and I was left for dead in the snow. And because it was 2 degrees below freezing, the blood in my head coagulated, and I was able to regain consciousness and propel myself on autopilot back to my apartment.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, and thanks to a great medical team in Northern Virginia, I got through it. I never fully recovered because I still have excruciating headaches. But a year later, I actually went to work for the NASA SETI project, and I worked with Seth Shostak back in the early 90s.
Great guy.
Great guy, and he's still hard at work with the privatized SETI.
Yeah.
So I'm, you know, living proof, almost dead proof, should have been an extinct announcer because I was knocked off the air, that evil is a reality, and I define evil as causing willful harm to others. And I believe that we need to study the problem of evil in order to advance ourselves as a civilization.
Bob, I'm glad you survived it, let me tell you, because I've noticed it. It's out there, and it's getting bigger and bigger. Bonnie's in Pahrump, Nevada. Hey, Bonnie, welcome to the program.
Hi, George. Thank you for taking my call.
Sure thing.
I wanted to talk about JTELM and basically to tell people what they can do to prepare in the states that it's going to be at.
And they won't even let us find out what's going on as media folks. Unbelievable.
Well, yeah, they're for a good reason, yeah. So anyway, this, you know, you may remember the patch of JTELM is something like the human domination of the human race or something
yeah,
like that. Yeah,
looks like that.
Okay,
yeah.
Right. So this is not human. This is not American military. This is going to be ET versus human. And I know that, you know, you may remember when I came on back in November talking about ET doctors, okay, that were replicates mm-hmm. of humans. This is what this is about. And the way that they're going to attack and the reason why they're wearing plain clothes is because they're going to be coming around at night, and they're going. And the reason why they're targeting the hottest part of the country in the hottest time of the summer, the hottest time of the year, is because they're going to be targeting the air compressor system. So what they will do of their targets, and their targets are already chosen. They got the names and addresses of FBI agents from the Office of Personnel Management. They were the ones who hacked those computers. So they already have their targets' addresses. It's not just going to be FBI. It's going to be police, FBI, Homeland Security, government, anybody in a position of leadership or influence. So they're going to go into their homes during the day while they're at work or at night, late at night. And the way they do it is they put odorless poisons like pesticides, things that are odorless, into the unit, the hose that goes into the house. There's a hole. They can inject things there, or they unscrew the actual unit that holds the chemical R410A.
Now you got to tell me, Bonnie, how did you come across this?
I knew you would ask me that, and it would take me like a couple of shows to explain all of it. But suffice it to say, I've experienced all of this. Okay, so I know exactly how these ops agents work, and I have to get to it because there's not a lot of time. I know you're going to need to go. So they can unscrew this thing, and this toxin is so powerful it can go through any wall. So it goes right into the house, and once it gets in your furniture, you cannot get it out, and it is odorless. So it creates all kinds of effects, of symptoms, confusion, dysphoria, tiredness, feeling fatigued, your immunity goes down, and ultimately it can cause cancers, blood cancers, all kinds of, you know, lung and colon cancers. Well, so once they compromise their target, okay, then they go in for the kill. They use the ketamine drug. They will hang out around your house. They will pose as lawn people, salespeople, people that are contractors that call you all day long, try to get you to let them in some way.
All right, so we got a little highlight of this, Bonnie. I mean, I thought JTELM 15 was merely a very secret military operation in a number of southern states, but this is wild. We'll have to watch for that. I mean, absolutely wild. Look, a lot of folks have been uptight lately. It's time to sit back and have a laugh of an individual who was late for a meeting, called into his boss. I've played it before, haven't played it in a long time. Here it is.
Hey, Mark, excuse me. I'm on my way to 3768. Kind of got hung up. It's raining out here. I'm on my way into Dallas. Jerry's probably going to be calling you to find out where I'm at if he can't get a hold of me, I'm sure. So thought, whoa. Man, I just had a wreck right in front of me. This guy ran a red light and hit four old ladies in an Impala. Just kind of clipped him and turned him around right in front of me, man. That was close. Oh, now this guy's getting out of his car. He's got a white shirt on with a tie and a cigarette hanging out of his mouth. He's throwing his hands up in the air like it was their fault. Oh, hold on. He's going over to their window. She's rolling down the window. Oh, man, I think she sprayed him with pepper spray. spray, man. He's holding his face and he's on his knee. She's getting out, she's beating him with an umbrella. The other women are getting out too. There's one woman with a little black purse. She's tomahawking him, man. She looks like a Sunbelt 20 horsepower jackhammer. Blah, blah, blah. We got another woman that's she's hitting him like he's got a cattle prod, man. She's got an umbrella and she's sticking it in his side. Oh, there's another one that it's a little woman looks like Mother Goose. She's beating him. She's got this U-bit bag. She's got this U-bit bag. It's huge. It's about the size of her. She's about 4 foot nothing. She hit him over the head. Everything went all over the place. Her Bible fell. She just hit him in the head with a Bible. She picked his Bible up and she lifted it way over her head. It was a hardback NVI version. Oh, they still beat the out of this guy. She picked his Bible up and raised it up above her head and just beamed the guy. This guy's not getting up. They're still hitting him. The one with the little black person still. Oh, pieces of okay, he's up on the little old woman's just beating him again with that big bag. He's running to his car. He's out of here.
Garden, and I never knew there were aliens on my roof. I got shadow people, and they're living in my basement. Got a funny feeling Bigfoot's gonna be here soon. I was so blind before, I was so unaware, but now I swear I'm seeing Sasquatch over there. I turned on my radio of the night, and I heard things I need to know. Now I can see the light, and I also see a ghost, 'cause I'm listening to Coast to Coast. Well, you never knew that your baby was a hybrid, but as he grew, you began to see the clues. Now you know the signs, 'cause you learned it from George Norrie. Even while you sleep, you got Martians watching you. I turned on my radio in the middle of the night, and I heard things I need to know. And I can see the light, and I also see a ghost, 'cause I'm listening to Coast to Coast. Or good evening, wherever you may be, whichever world you're living in, whatever century, your voice is always welcome here on my radio. Call in with your space transmitter or your telephone. And I turned on my radio in the middle of the night, and I heard things I need to know. Now I can see the light, also see a ghost, 'cause I'm listening to Coast to Coast, 'cause I'm listening to Coast to Coast.
For Dan Galante, David Hines, Tom Danheiser, Lisa Lyon, Lex Lonehood, Sean Laudasur, Stephanie Smith, Chris Borles, and George Knapp. I'm George Norrie, somewhere out there on Coast to Coast AM. We'll see you on our next edition. Until then, be safe, everyone.